Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia, here each week to talk about the motley world of money and investing. On today's show, this company does more business than Target, Sears, Kmart, JCPenney, Safeway, and Kroger combined. We'll talk about how Walmart is changing the face of business in your town and across our planet. But first, we kick things off with a company you may encounter at your mailbox or on your web browser, and that would be Netflix. Netflix is in the DVD by mail business and currently has around 4.2 million subscribers. The stock is a recommendation in our Motley Fool Stock Advisor newsletter. It's been a volatile stock. Shares of Netflix have more than tripled since the company went public in 2002. But it's been quite a roller coaster. Reed Hastings is the CEO of Netflix. He's a return guest on this show. He joins us from Netflix corporate headquarters in Los Gatos, California. Reed Hastings, welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you very much.
Reed, many of our listeners by now know about Netflix the service, but we may not know as much about Netflix the business. Can you briefly explain what happens on your end when I order a movie from Netflix?
Well, Netflix offers a movie rental service. And subscribers typically pay $17.99 a month. They get three movies unlimited. We ship those DVDs to their home. When they watch them, they send it back to us. So to answer your question, what we do at our end is when we receive the movie, it's checked in. It's barcode scanned. An email goes out to the customer saying we've received it. And then another movie is sent to that customer.
And how many distribution outlets or centers do you have nationwide these days?
We now have 37 distribution centers spread across the U.S. We ship over 1.4 million DVDs a day. And about 92% of our subscribers get overnight delivery from Netflix. That is, we've got a distribution center close enough to them to get them overnight delivery.
Reed, what movie is at the top of the list in terms of volume in your inventory these days?
Right now, Crash is flying off the shelf, won the Oscars Best Picture, great film, and that's our number one renter.
How many copies do you have?
You know, I don't know. I'd guess over a quarter million, but I don't have the number right here.
And on a related note, how many copies of Car Wash do you think Netflix has in stock?
Ooh, Car Wash, you stumped me there. It's not a big one on my list.
Well, let me ask more broadly. How do you determine at Netflix how many copies of a movie to order? Are you operating off of a formula?
Sure. We do it a little bit like housing values or stock values. That is, you look at comparable houses or stocks, and in our case, we look at comparable films. And we see how have similar films performed at Netflix. And because we've got a lot of history and a large database now, we're able to accurately pick how many movies, how many copies we should get for any given title.
And Reed, in your 8K SEC filing of January 24th this year, I believe you stated that, quote, we enter 2006 confident we can reach our goal of 20 million subscribers within the 2010 to 2012 timeframe, end quote. Now, is that just off the core business that we see today that you've just described for us, or is Netflix, in your mind, changing in noticeable ways to scale that big that fast?
Well, it's a little bit of both. In terms of getting to 20 million subscribers, that's on the DVD rental business and improving the DVD rental business by continuing to build out our personalization, our distribution centers, and other ways that we're improving the Netflix experience. In addition to that, there would be international, there could be downloading, there could be other things. But the things that we know now how to improve are DVD rental. And the reason that we're able to look ahead, you know, people say, gosh, can you really say anything practical about 2010? Is that the DVD market is very large, about $24 billion last year, and continuing to grow. And Fox is predicting that the DVD market will be $30 billion by the end of this decade. And so it's based upon that growth in the DVD market that gives us confidence that out of that $30 billion, we can grow to $2 to $3 billion of it, which is about $20 million in revenue.
I want to talk some about kind of the film companies themselves. Let's take Disney or maybe Sony. Specifically, do you think they consider you a great pleasure to work with, or, I don't know, still kind of insignificant, or Are you like a pesky gnat that threatens to control their access to the consumer? Or what? Disney and Sony?
They see us as fantastic on their art film and classic film divisions. So for Disney, that's Miramax. For Sony, it's Sony Classics. And for those divisions, we do a tremendous business for them, and we're very significant. For the really large titles that are going to get a lot of marketing from Walmart, then really Walmart and Best Buy dominate the business, and Blockbuster, Netflix, and others are relatively smaller parts. So, again, where we are disproportionately significant for the studios is on the smaller films. And because of that, they like us a lot because we fill a unique niche, which is these smaller films.
And I'm trying to look forward at a world that might one day, in your words, have 20 million Netflix subscribers. What percentage of the revenues of these movie distributors do you think you will be occupying at that point?
Oh, still pretty small. I mean, that would generate round numbers 4 or 5% of their domestic revenue. So no substantial concentration.
Mm. And do you believe you can convince these suppliers to give Netflix the distribution rights for downloading content?
Well, the distribution rights, we believe, will be non-exclusive and done as music distribution is today. There's multiple different websites that offer downloading music. Today there's multiple sites that offer downloading movies. So we don't anticipate it'll be exclusive. We anticipate that it'll be open to any retailer, including the current retailers in Best Buy and Walmart, et cetera.
Mm. And Reed, it seems like you have a pretty firm grasp on the online rental market. I know a year or two ago you and I were talking about Blockbuster Video's entry and Walmart's entry, and today Walmart is your partner and Blockbuster has been pretty much bypassed in terms of its online effort. Do you calculate the online rental market, and do you target a certain percentage of it for your business? And if you do, what is that percentage?
We do calculate it. Blockbuster announced they're at 1.2 million subscribers compared to us being over 4 million. But we don't target a market share. We target our own growth, and we focus on generating 50% earnings growth year after year. This year we'll have between 30 and 35 million of GAAP tax net income, and we're looking to grow that 50% a year. So that's how we think about our growth desires.
And pinning down briefly on that offline world that you don't live in so much, many people, including, well, me, think that bricks and mortar video rental stores are an endangered species. How far along do you think Netflix is in putting the corner video store out of business?
Well, a long way away. I mean, Blockbuster's still about $6 billion in revenue. So they're almost as big as Google, to put it in perspective. So it'll be quite a long time before all those stores close. Now, we'll see little closures here and there, but the video rental market is very large.
Reed, Netflix has recently gotten some bad publicity for a practice some people call throttling. It's a practice where Netflix makes renters take a back seat, heavy ones, in line sometimes behind new customers or customers who average fewer rentals. Is Netflix, in your mind, still throttling?
We don't call, we're not sure what the term throttling means per se, but what we do, we disclose on our website. And the way it works is when a new movie comes out, we'll often not have enough copies in the first month.
Mm-hmm.
And what we'll do then is say, okay, you know, there's 5,000 people who want this, and we only have 4,000 copies today. So who are going to get those 4,000 copies?
Triage.
And we say that we do it in priority order, depending on how much someone has used before. And in our eyes, that's fair, because everybody's paying the same $18 a month. And then those that haven't gotten many movies, they get the first crack at the new releases. For those who watch a lot of movies, they don't get first crack. Some of those users have been upset with this policy, and I think that's where you've seen the controversy created.
And Reed, when we talked last year, you said that you expected video on demand, that's where we're going next, to become the main economic profits driver for the movie studio in the next, and I quote, 10 to 50 years. You noted that DVD sales now generate over half the studio's revenues, and you said you expected studios to protect that DVD model. But in the last year, we've obviously seen iTunes video take off to a certain extent. Given all the advances in technology, Reed, do you still feel that studios are going to protect the DVD model?
Absolutely. So, for example, their major feature movies, such as Crash that we just talked about, are not available at iTunes. So there are no movies there. And again, the DVD revenues are protected on movies.
Mm-hmm.
What's exciting about iTunes is it's got television shows, and television shows have a different economic life cycle. So coming back to movies, what I said last year was that it was going to be a long time until video on demand or downloading eclipsed into DVD revenues, and we continue to believe that. Not only we believe that, but the studios believe that. And they're forecasting substantial increases in DVD sales and rentals over the next 5 years, partially driven by the advent of high-definition DVD, the next big wave in this format.
I'm sure some of your shareholders, and that would probably include me, would be excited about the idea that Netflix would offer me a little button at Netflix.com in which maybe I could just click it and video stream down the movie that I could watch tonight instead of wasting money on the mail. Reed, is that something that you foresee Netflix doing in the next 3 years?
Absolutely. You've got exactly the right model, which is just as you watch trailers at Netflix today, why not watch the full movie? So that's something that we'll be getting into and over the next 3 years as a time frame I'd be comfortable with.
Mm. And I guess, Reed, to follow up, given the popularity of Apple's iTunes, isn't it possible, in your mind, that movie studios one day will abandon the DVD model before too long, let's say next 5 to 10 years, maybe a lot earlier than that 10 to 50-year time frame?
Well, you talk about abandoning the DVD model, but let's look at music. Music is pretty advanced in its digital distribution.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lots of players, lots of companies out there. But from the record company's point of view, CDs are still nearly 90% of their revenue. So even in an advanced market like music, the dominant part of the revenue comes from the optical disc. So that's what underlies our confidence that since movies are behind music in that evolution, and it will come over time, it's going to be longer than most people think.
Reed Hastings, we're going to hold it right there. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with the CEO of Netflix. You're listening to The Motley Fool Radio Show from NPR. This is The Motley Fool Radio Show with David Gardner. We're talking with Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix. And Reed, Apple sold 1 million video clips in the first 20 days of making movie and video downloads available on its iTunes music store. What do you make of Apple's success?
Well, I think that's half driven by me. I've been downloading all my episodes of Lost and Desperate Housewives onto my video iPod. So I think it's a fantastic way to catch up on television.
Do you really watch Desperate Housewives, by the way?
It's a guilty pleasure.
About a year ago, you'd announced a digital distribution partnership with another one of my stock recommendations. This one hasn't done as well as Netflix. That would be TiVo. Reed, has anything happened since on that deal with TiVo?
No, it hasn't.
Is that a surprise to you? What was your thinking when you made the announcement? Is it more on their side or your side that things haven't happened?
It's really more on the studio side. We were expecting that content licensing rights were going to be available more broadly than they have been. And you can see by the fact that Apple isn't in the downloading movie business for now how tightly constrained those movie downloading rights are.
Talking briefly about the competitive landscape as we draw to a close, Reed, Amazon owns the movie website IMDb.com, the Internet Movie Database, one of my favorite sites, which had more than 15 million unique users in February. There's been speculation that Amazon would sell downloadable versions of movies and maybe some noise this week about that. I guess those could in turn be copied to DVDs. If that were to happen, where does that leave Netflix?
Well, I think that there's a lot of opportunity in the downloading space, again, when the movie studios start enabling it. Where they have started is with MovieLink, which is a download for rent service that's been available for the last 3 years.
Hasn't been a big deal, has it?
And it's been a relatively modest success because most consumers want to watch movies on the television. And to do that today requires a DVD. So it's one of the many reasons why we're so confident in the long life of DVD.
And let's talk about the effect that Netflix is having on smaller, lesser-known movies. You alluded to this earlier. Let's talk about the documentary Born Into Brothels, which has racked up over 500,000 rentals on Netflix. I've not seen this one myself. My producer presumably has. That's why he wrote this one into the question. Smaller movies now have a second shot at reaching a much wider audience, and that's obviously a happy outcome that Netflix has helped create. With that in mind, to what extent do you think Netflix is going to change the future of the smaller, maybe even documentary-focused aspect of the new movie industry?
Well, I think we're creating tremendous opportunity for smaller films. Again, we talked about Sony Classics earlier or Disney's Miramax.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of studios that carry a Born Into Brothels. And what we're able to do is help subscribers find the movies that they would love most. And for about a half a million of our 4 million subscribers, they chose to see Born Into Brothels from us.
Mm.
And again, it's because our site is optimized to help each subscriber find the movies that they would love most. And if the movie, the documentary, is small and really good for some people, then we'll promote it a lot. If it's small and not very good, then the system doesn't promote it to very many people at all. So it's all automatic based upon the movie ratings.
And Reed, do you see Netflix ever producing its own content?
We've done a tiny amount of that in a small number of cases.
Experimental?
But you know, really just more labor of love projects. But no, I think that's farther away from us.
Are you bold enough to say that maybe movies are getting made today because of Netflix that may not have been made otherwise?
Not in any material numbers. There's 2,000 movies released each year, about 400 or 500 of those being MPAA-rated kind of mainstream films for the major studios. And we're focused on improving the distribution for all of those movies. There's no shortage of movies being made. There's a shortage of effective distribution for the movies that are made today.
To close, Reed, I asked you last year if you could imagine a scenario where Netflix is bought out or at the very least merges with another company. You said you could imagine that possibility. You said it's probably more likely as Netflix evolves from a DVD into a downloading business, let's say, maybe has 10 or 20 million subscribers. But given the success of Apple's iTunes and given Amazon's potential move into downloadable movies, do you now feel, I don't know, a greater sense of urgency to either merge or get bought out or combine forces in some way with one other big heavy hitter in this industry?
We're feeling great about our position in the market. We have over $200 million in cash. It's growing every quarter. Our subscriber base has grown 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million. Again, we'll be nearly 6 million subscribers by the end of this year, 20 million subscribers by 2010 to 2012. We're feeling great about our future as an independent company.
Reed Hastings is the CEO of Netflix. Netflix is a Motley Fool Stock Advisor recommendation, and it's been a profitable one at that. Reed Hastings, thanks once again for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you for having me.